This last week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I was up in South Carolina at our Yakima Center for a twice annual retreat with all the clergy. Actually, it's more of a series of meetings for 3 days. It's not a retreat, but the retreat says we all take off our black robes and play golf. It's actually the opposite. We all keep our robes on, sit in a meeting room for hours and listen to various presentations. And one of the theme of this gathering was religious education. Obviously, religious education is an important part of any church community. And we think religious education, we think mostly our Sunday school, we think our formal religious education ends when we're 18, just like we think that our formal education ends when we graduate high school or college. Of course, a smart person continues to educate himself or herself throughout their entire life. And whether you are working in any profession, especially if you are a Christian, you should continue to learn and deepen your knowledge and faith throughout your life. So one of the questions that was posed here by our presenter was, what makes you Orthodox? He said that he posed this to a group of people, to seminarians actually, what makes you Orthodox? And a lot of them did not know. So I'm posing the question for our congregation, what makes you Orthodox? Sacraments. All right? What else? Acknowledging the creed. What else makes us Orthodox? What?
Humility.
All right? What else? What else makes us Orthodox? I'll tell them we're very educated in our parish. Helping others. What else? Holding the teachings. All right. So, two couple of things: sacraments, humility, acknowledging the creed. These are things that make us Orthodox. A couple of things that you didn't mention. Number one, we are the most ancient of all Christian churches. In fact, that night we celebrated the 500th year of St. James. That liturgy was actually written about 70 AD. And the structure of the churches that we celebrated this morning, St. John Chrysostom, was basically present back in 70 AD. That's pretty amazing to think that the structure of this service has lasted almost 2,000 years without any need to change it in any great fashion. Another thing that makes us Orthodox, and it's something that we don't think about very much, is that we're connected. To be Orthodox means to be connected. If I were to meet here today and say, I'm going to make my own Orthodox church in Brandon, and we will call it the New and Improved Orthodox Church, I would not be Orthodox. Even if I made a church like this with icons, vestments, and divine liturgy, I would not be Orthodox because I would not be connected to anybody. We're connected via our hierarch, connected via our priests, we're connected via our sacraments. So to be Orthodox is not to be old, but it is to be connected. Another question that was posed to us was, why do you go to church? So let's think about that for a moment. Why do you come to church? Why do you come to church today?
To worship.
To worship. The human relationship with Christ. Communion. To pray. It's important that we think these things, and it's important that we articulate that. Because I'm sure there are some people who come, maybe not you, but there are times where I'm sure we all come out of habit. Not the mood to come. I'm sure there are times we come for our children, because it looks good to them. I'm sure there are times we come to see our friends. I'm sure there are some people who come because of Easter. Why the church is like, that's 3 times more people than it does today on Easter. Or some people who come because there's a memorial service. But the reason we are coming to church, we're coming to pray, we're coming to worship, we're coming to share fellowship, not in the coffee hour, but in the church with people who believe like we do. And we're here, number one, to experience heaven on earth. We're here to step outside of our lives and to step into a piece of heaven on earth. This is what the Orthodox Church is all about. In fact, there were some emissaries from Russia in about the 6th, 7th century that were looking around for churches. They were traveling the whole world and they were saying, which church will we find to take back to our country? And they went to Constantinople Yair Sophia, and they witnessed the divine liturgy, and they said, this is the church for us because we did not know where heaven ended and earth began. Nowhere in the world do we see heaven and earth come together as we saw them come together here. So this church for us, as Orthodox Christians, every time the liturgy is celebrated, it's an opportunity to leave the world and enter into heaven momentarily. Another question, and this is not to answer openly, but to think this week. What do people learn from your example of Christianity? What do people learn from your example of Christianity? Think about how it's like how you live your life. If someone, if you carry a sign around you and said, I am a Christian, you carry it all around so everyone can see it. What would people think? What would they learn from your example of Christianity? If your answer is what not to do, that's not a good answer. Hopefully people will learn something. Maybe they will learn humility. Maybe they will learn charity. Maybe they will learn kindness from your example of being a Christian. And then we went to other subjects related to education. We talked about weddings and baptisms specifically. And when somebody gets married, of course we bring it into the office, we do prepare our custody, we fill out all their paperwork, and we have a rehearsal, we have a wedding. But sometimes we don't talk to the seriously about what kind of an Orthodox Christian couple do you want to be. Okay, most couples nowadays are not Orthodox, so let's just think, what kind of a Christian couple do you want to be? Maybe I'll start with this, my prayer counseling. A couple that forgives one another, a couple that's patient with one another, a couple that's sniffing with each other. Think about, if you're married, what kind of a Christian couple do you want to be? And the final question to meditate on, to reflect on this week, is what kind of an Orthodox parent do you want to be? Many times, I've seen people coming to the church for baptism, and they baptize their child, and they don't even come for 3 Sundays for that child to receive communion. I've been here now 7 years. We have an average of 30 plus baptisms a year. So we should have, 210 children in 7 or under in our community. But we don't have that. We have maybe 50 of them. So maybe 25% of people who come through the door to baptize a child will stay with the church. So maybe I need to asking, maybe we as a church need to be asking, what kind of an Orthodox parent do you want to be for your child? Have you never practiced the Bible? Have you never come to church? Or a kind that prays for your child? A kind that hangs light on your roof? A kind that teaches them to make their cross? A kind that brings them with joy into God's holy temple every Sunday? And the final question, not at our conference, but that I pose to you, is what kind of Orthodox Christian do you want to be? And we have a couple of examples in the scripture readings today. We find in the lesson that we read from St. Paul, that St. Paul was telling the followers of the church that in his early years, he was very zealous for his Jewish faith. He was so zealous in the fact that he was persecuting Christians. And then he turned his zeal around by God's grace and God's miracle, and he became someone who was zealous for being a Christian. So in your life, you put zeal behind an adjective of yourself, the kind of Christian are you? Is zeal one of the adjectives? Is enthusiasm one of the adjectives? And if not, why is that not one of the adjectives you put behind yourself? I am a blank Christian. Enthusiastic, zealous, lukewarm. Think about what adjectives you would put into what kind of Christian you are. And in the gospel lesson we read today, I'm sort of telling you guys last night in time this gospel lesson was around, it's one of the very difficult to preach on. About a demon being sent into a herd of swine. You say, well, what do I do with that? I was with a group of clergy, actually, not this time, another time, we were discussing this gospel lesson. They said, the lesson is no more hot dogs to have in you. Or the swine getting off the cliff. So obviously, that's not the lesson of the gospel. But one of the lessons we came to for that gospel lesson is that man, formerly inhabited by demons, and Jesus made that miracle, he upset the townsfolk, and he took all their livestock and sent them down the cliff. In fact, he upset them so Israel went into a hostile territory, as it were, and faithfully proclaimed everything that God had done for them. That takes courage, that takes faith. So when you're thinking about yourself, what kind of Christian life? Are we faithful? Are we courageous? Are we zealous? Are we enthusiastic? Or are we other things? So as we leave today, we go about our business this week, think about what kind of Christian you are. If you're married, think about what kind of Christian couple you are. If you have a child, think about what kind of Christian parent you are. And ask yourself also, what do people learn from your example of Christianity? May the Lord our God bless and keep you. Thank you for sharing a beautiful service this morning. Hopefully you others who are not here today will be with us next week. Not to miss out on a chance to touch heaven this morning. I'm so glad that you came and were part of this. God bless you.